Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and to bring you the truth of God from the God of truth. This is How to Worship God, number 5. Now, there are many ideas about worshiping God, but will they work? What does the Bible tell us and teach us about worshiping God? Now, some think if they come with lots of money, idols, statues, impressive dress, impressive ritual, large buildings, that God will be pleased. Well, let's see what God Himself says, and we will see what God is interested in. And how do you really worship Him? And as we covered last time, and we'll go over some of those things again today, that it all begins with prayer. Now here in Micah, the 6th chapter, verse 6, Micah asked the question, "With what shall I come before the Lord to bow myself before the Lord Most High? How am I going to come before God? What does God expect? What do you expect?" So he continues, "Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old?" Now we saw in the very first one that if our hearts are not right, it doesn't matter what kind of burnt offerings you bring. And besides, since the temple is no longer in existence, and that form of worship given to Israel has been replaced with the New Covenant, the New Testament, animal sacrifices are not required because we have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ instead. So verse 7, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my life?" That's what they've done in the societies. A lot of people talk about, well, the advanced society of the Mayans. Well, the advanced society of the Mayans was really one of the most depraved in the history of the world. They practiced human sacrifice on a vast scale. And even ancient Israel offered their unwanted children in sacrifice to Moloch. Verse 8, "He has shown you, O man, what is good." God does show us what is good, what is right, and what we need to do. "But what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Now, how do you do that? Let's come back and see the most important aspect of worshiping God. And it does begin with prayer, but it also comes to every facet of our lives. John, the 4th chapter, verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is indeed seeking those who worship Him in this manner." Now, it's important to understand God is Creator. There's no such thing as evolution. The stamp of God is on everything that exists.
The eye, with its incredible sensitive color vision, is increasingly being recognized as a marvel as we learn more about how it works. The eye is able to detect the smallest measure of light known to physicists, called photons. The normal eye detects color using principles similar to those used by your color television. Within the eye are three kinds of light-absorbing molecules. They are found in the millions of cone-shaped cells in the retina. Each one of these three molecules absorbs one of the primary colors, red, green, or blue. How could natural forces have accidentally stumbled onto the very principle of physics upon which color rests? The sensitivity required for color vision is also astounding. There is only 75 millionths of a meter difference between the wavelengths of blue and green light. This size difference is so small that it could not be noticed even under the most powerful light microscope. In his book On the Origin of Species, Charles Darwin wrote, quote, "To suppose that the eye, with all its inimitable contrivances for adjusting focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration, and that that could have been formed by natural selection, seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree," unquote. On this one point, we agree most certainly with Charles Darwin.
Now here's why we worship God in spirit and in truth. And spirit means this. Every human being has what is called the spirit of man. And it is the spirit that gives you life. And it is the spirit that also operates your mind. And so God wants you to come before him in spirit and in truth. Now, if you do not have the Spirit of God within you, then there's another difficulty involved, see, because you have to repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God in order to receive the Spirit of God within you. Now, without that, even with the spirit of man, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, you might not think that of yourself, but it is true of every human being. And the reason is this, is that when Adam and Eve sinned, all their offspring received human nature. And human nature is a combination of good and evil, predominated by sin and rebellion. So to come before God in spirit and in truth, you need to understand you need to come to God on his terms. Now, in the book of Isaiah, God says that he will not give his praise to idols. So truth is defined succinctly as the outline of it, with many details involved afterwards, in the Ten Commandments. So if you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, you also need to look at your conduct. Now, remember, when you come before God to pray, you're coming to the Creator of heaven and earth and all that there is, all human beings, all life on earth, all land, all water, everything in the water, everything in the air. God has created the universe and all that there is. And no one can tell God what to do. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, must means obligatory. Do you think that you're going to have God answer your prayer? I'm going to rob a bank, God, so protect me so I don't get hurt. That prayer would go no place. So how do we do it in spirit and in truth? Let's come to Luke 11. Now, this is a review of what we saw in Matthew 6 last time. Luke 11, explained just a little differently. The disciples wanted to know, Lord, teach us how to pray. And since prayer is the beginning of the worship of God, you praise Him, you honor Him, you thank Him, and let's see what Jesus told them. Verse 2, Luke 11. And He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now let's understand something. If you are in a religion where they have so-called holy fathers, you're not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. See? Only God's name is holy. Your kingdom come. Now, what does that mean? Your kingdom come means this. God has a plan where the kingdom of God is going to come to the earth, and God is going to send Jesus Christ to return and set up the government of God, save all mankind from their destruction. Don't you think we need to be saved from ourselves? Don't you think we need to be saved from destruction? And we're living in an age where we have that ability, don't we? Yes, indeed. Your kingdom come. All right. What does that mean to you personally as you are worshiping God? And of course, when you pray, you need to be on both your knees in a quiet place, as Jesus said, and you worship God. It's directly between you and God the Father and Jesus Christ in His name, as we saw last time, because God the Father Himself loves you. So your kingdom come means the rule of God in your life. And what does that mean? Well, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when you say, your kingdom come, and that's the whole overall purpose of God, but when it applies to each one of us when we are praying, it is that we are submitting ourselves to God, and that's the whole purpose of worship. That you submit yourself to God in everything. Everything about your life. Your thoughts, your motives, what you do, how you live, how you treat other people, then all flows from that true worship of God. Now notice what else? Your will be done. And that's what you want in your life. The will of God, the blessing of God. And sometimes there are trials and circumstances we have to go through to learn lessons. Your will be done, as in heaven, so also upon the earth. And God is going to execute His will upon the earth, whether for good or whether for evil. See, this is why God has given us His whole word, so we can understand about God, what God is doing, the purpose of human life, where we are going. And this is why worshiping God must be in spirit and in truth. Give us our bread as needed day by day, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Now, it says in chapter 6 of Matthew, forgive us our debts. Now, that's not wiping out money that you owe. Because when you sin, it's a debt to God and a debt to the other people that you have offended. And this is why we need to pray for forgiveness every day. And another reason is because our nature is such that it is easy for us to sin in word or deed or thought. And all of this is part of worshiping God, because God alone can blot out those sins, and God alone can help us. God alone can lead us. God alone can show us what is right. Now notice the last part of this. Lead us not into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Only God can rescue you from Satan the devil. Now, a lot of people think that the way you recognize Satan is because it's evil and wicked. Well, he doesn't approach us that way. He approaches us with a benefit. He approaches us and gives us temptations to do things which appear good, but are sinful. And so we need to understand things that look good may not be good in the eyes of God. This is why when we worship Him, we come before Him in spirit and in truth. And we are obligated to do that. God will honor that. God will bless that. God will intervene and help you. But you have to, as we started out, walk humbly before God. Now let's look at some prayers in the book of Psalms. Now if you want to know how you can worship God, the whole book of Psalms are prayers and how we come before God, how we worship God, how we speak to God, how God responds back to us, and God is honored when we walk in His way, when we do the things that please Him. Let's pick it up here in Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Now look at that. The meditation, His thoughts. This is why when you worship God, you ask God to help you get all the thoughts that are contrary to His way out of your thought process while you are praying. Hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. And that's how we worship God, directly to Him. That's a wonderful and tremendous thing. And it should be the first thing that you do every day. Now also, one of the Psalms tells us that we are to pray in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. And what does this do for us? This keeps us in contact with God. What does God then do for us in return? Well, He blesses us, He guides us, He protects us, He watches over us. He blesses our activities, He blesses our thoughts, He blesses the things that we do, all because we come to Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth, and pray to Him in spirit and in truth. Now notice, verse 3, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning. I will direct my prayer to you, I will look up. For you are not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. Now this tells you all about how we adjust our lives according to the will of God and the Word of God, all under the section, Your Kingdom Come. And that is God answering and hearing. Now notice verse 5. The boasters shall not stand in your sight. You hate all the workers of iniquity. Now you think about that for a minute. Iniquity is sin, transgression of the law, doing evil, plotting evil, planning evil. Now let me tell you something that this may shock you. In subverting children and in bringing them into Satan's ways, Walt Disney is the prime mover of that in the world. Dr. Nate DeMerle, teach them about witchcraft. Teach them about fantasy. You just watch any of the Disney productions. Look at them now.
For generations, this peaceful island has been home to our family. But beyond our reef, a great danger is coming. Legend tells of a hero who will journey to find the demigod Maui. And together, they will save us all.
Maui, shapeshifter, demigod of the wind and sea, I am
hero of men.
What?
It's actually Maui, shapeshifter, demigod of the wind and sea, hero of men. I interrupted from the top, hero of men.
We're going to the realm of monsters?
Don't worry, it's a lot farther down than it looks.
That's all witchcraft. How many people live their lives in a cocoon of lies? A make-believe reality. This is why you need to pray in the morning. Before you go to work, before your activities are going, that God rescues you from the evil one and that your thoughts are toward God. And you begin to love God. And love your neighbor, and love those you work with. And all of that combined, that's how there is change. That's how there is conversion. That's how you grow in grace and knowledge. Now drop down here to Psalm 4, verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. That is the righteousness from God that he's walking in. And what is righteousness? All your commandments are righteousness. So you see, to worship God in spirit and in truth is not an isolated thing that you do over here as a separate formula. It is a whole package of things together. To worship God, to love God, to serve him, to walk in his commandments. This is why you need this booklet, Keys to Answered Prayer. That is how you come before God. Now notice, you gave me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. All right? Now that's in direct reference to Psalm 3. Let's go to Psalm 3. How do you worship God when there's a lot of trouble and difficulty? You get on your knees and you cry out to God, and you worship him and you love him, you praise him, and do just exactly like David did here in Psalm 3. O Lord, how my foes have increased. You have days with trouble, days with problems, days with difficulties. Days that you wished you never had. Well, you go to God and pray about it. That's why you worship him in spirit and truth, so he can help you. See? Notice. Many are the ones who rise up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God, Selah. Now, what does this tell us? It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. If you turn to God in spirit and in truth, he will answer you. Notice verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. When I cried to the Lord with my voice, he answered me out of his holy mountain, Selah. Now, Selah means stop and think and meditate on it. All of these things have to do with how God will respond to you, and you respond to God. Because, you see, worshiping God develops a two-way relationship between you and God and you. And when you pray and you worship God, you also believe Him and you trust Him and you look to Him to answer your prayers. You look to Him to help you in your difficulties and troubles, to guide you and lead you in what you are doing. And then all of this reflects in what your life will become and it should be. That's why it's important. Now, we're going to see in the next segment a tremendous prayer. We're going to see several things of prayer that are important in worshiping God and how then God will act and respond because of that. Now, you also need to book, Lord, what should I do? What should you do? How should you worship God? What should your life be like? Now then, if you really want to know, does God have a plan? Does God have a purpose? Why are there so many human beings on the earth? Why am I here? What am I going to do? What does God want of me? Then you need this book, this eye-opening book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? God has a purpose and meaning for your life in everything that you do. And it's different from just living in the world and not knowing God and living your life in sin and deceit and following the ways that are considered normal in this world but are sinful and perverted before God. So I hope this helps you understand how to worship God and how to come before Him and what God expects of you. And it all begins with prayer. And then that prayer develops into a relationship with God. And then that develops into how you live your life. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, truthofgod.org, sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God. And until next time, so long, everyone.